The first thing that we had to do is to create a strong determination not to commit such evil deeds again. But that itself is not enough. After that, one should try to do more and more good deeds or meritorious deeds by cultivating kindness, honesty, generosity, and proper understanding. The cultivations of such good deeds and meritorious deeds accumulate good karma. When the purity of the mind and good karma become more powerful energy to strengthen the mind and to gain confidence on our future life. When the good karma is powerful and active in the mind, the bad karma that we had committed earlier would become dormant or be inactive. If this occurs at that state of mind, rebirth takes place in a favorable condition. This explanation is enough for us to understand as to how we can forgive our own sins. However, this is not the end of our bad karma, because it is not possible to eradicate them completely. But in the process of continuing to accumulate more and more good meritorious deeds, by serving others and reducing mental impurity, we can overcome the effect of bad karma, because good karma can eclipse the effect of bad karma, so that we can continue our life process until we attain perfection or sainthood or final goal. Since craving which condition rebirth is extinguished, bad karmic forces are also eliminated automatically. Only after that we will be free from the effect of the bad karma. Although this method is meaningful and justifiable, still some people try to find a shortcut to avoid the effect and to go to heaven simply by praying to God and performing some rites and rituals. But Buddhism has rejected this belief. When a preacher was giving a talk on the creations of heaven and earth, then somebody from the audience got up and asked, "May I know actually what was he doing before he started to create heaven and earth?" Then the speaker answered, "Do you know, during that period, he was creating hell for those who ask such kind of questions." The concept of heaven and hell is very important to many people. But this is some sort of technique introduced by many religions. When people could not appreciate to perform their duties as human beings, to cultivate certain virtues, to maintain human dignity, and to understand how to behave as cultured people, they have introduced this belief. They said that if people follow such religious principles, fulfilling their duties towards parents, wife, husband, neighbors, after their death, they can have a wonderful eternal life in heaven. That was the only way to convince people to do good, just like training small children to do good because they cannot understand or appreciate to do good. Therefore, it is necessary to promise something for them, at least chocolate, sweets, or something to play with. Only then will they pay attention. The Buddha did not talk by using children's language. He knew that we have the potential to understand things, although many of us do not take the trouble to understand. His way of teaching is not to promise anything, but to teach people to understand what is right and what is wrong, and the nature of cause and effect. According to him, if we do a good thing only aiming at heaven, we are selfish. Because according to that motive, we would not develop virtues such as compassion, honesty, and understanding, and would never reduce selfishness. In one of his discourses, the Buddha says that those who have worldly happiness are fortunate in their household life, but they must be wise to make use of their wealth without developing selfishness. They must be kind enough to share their happiness with others. The Buddha did not condemn worldly gain and happiness. But if we know how to cultivate them, experience pleasure in a respectable way, we can gain this heavenly bliss while we are here, and not only after this. But the physical burden in heavenly existence is lesser than in human existence. As far as intellectual capacity is concerned, human minds have more potential for spiritual development. Celestial beings do not think of performing meritorious deeds. Humans are more fortunate in that respect. We have the chance to enrich our knowledge. When the devas had certain subtle problems, they too had to come to the Buddha to find out the solution. As human beings, we spend what we have accumulated as merit in the previous birth. While spending, we are also going on accumulating more and more merit and deposit such merit for the future as well as for the next life, because we know that this is not the complete end of our life existence. The continuity of life process again takes place according to our merit. Whether we believe it or not, whether we can understand it or not, but still, there are many things that we cannot understand regarding our existence. We say that animals are unfortunate although they get good food and many other things. They are unfortunate because they do not know anything about the fate of their life. It is impossible for them to accumulate merit or acquire spiritual development. That is why human beings can do anything to them by using the human mind. They catch them, torture them, and kill them for their pleasure. Animals have no idea, according to their animal way of thinking, that there will be continuity in life. Animal life is not the end of that life. Existence again takes place because in that animal's mind there exists anger, jealousy, craving, and ignorance. These are the main evil forces latent in each and every living being. Since they are not free from such thoughts, rebirth takes place again. In our case, we have controlled certain evil thoughts, but we can tame animals by beating, training, and frightening them. Because of that fear, they behave like tamed animals. When they associate with us for many generations, they automatically become tame. In the same way, cats, dogs, cows, goats, and elephants become docile because they were with us for generations. But still, they have their own animal instinct or nature. Although we are humans, still many of us do not know how to make use of our valuable human life. We abuse the opportunities or facilities that we have to cultivate our way of life. We abuse our valuable human life due to our selfishness and cunningness. So religion is important to pave the way for such ignorant people to think properly and to develop human values. According to the Buddha, human life is more important than any other kind of life among the 31 planes of existence. Devas are not superior to human beings as far as virtues and the spiritual development of the mind are concerned. But we are crazy to go to heaven because the other religions have illustrated this in such a way to tempt us beautifully. Concept of heaven has become a very effective religious business to them. Now, let us discuss about hell. Since many religions take advantage of the concept of hell to propagate their religion, this is a very strong weapon for them to frighten people. I remember, some time ago, the medical authorities in England made an appeal to missionaries not to create fear in the mind of people by threatening them about hellfire to introduce their religion, because they have come across many people who suffered from mental disturbances due to that fear of hellfire. Creating fear in man's mind has become a very effective method to introduce religion, mostly in Asian countries today. They say that the Buddha cannot save you because he, being a man, is dead and gone. Why do you pray and worship a man who is no more here? Our God is the only savior who can save you. Buddhist missionaries, for the last 2,500 years, never used this kind of technique to introduce Buddhism. Buddhists never say that others who do not accept Buddhism will have to go to hell. The Buddha's attitude to other religions is very compassionate and reasonable. Some people are ignorant and not ready to listen to advice given by wise people, either to do good or to abstain from bad deeds. Therefore, religious people have illustrated heaven and hell by depicting how good people enjoy their lives in heaven and how evildoers suffer in hell. In those days, people were not educated to read religious books. The only way religious teachers could teach them to do good and not to do bad things was through such illustrations. In certain temples, they have drawn some wall paintings depicting how people enjoy their life in heaven and also how they suffer in hell. These illustrations are like cartoons to children. This was the way they introduced religion even before the Buddha's appearance. However, the Buddha wanted to educate people by revealing the truth directly. Although the Buddha advised people not to violate religious principles, but to uphold human dignity, he did not lay down religious principles as commandments or laws. In simple language, he said that if you commit evil deeds, you would have to face the consequences in the form of suffering, either physically or mentally, within this life or hereafter. You should also consider the nature of pleasure or suffering in different stages of existence, and these stages are introduced by giving different names such as heaven, hell, ghost world, and animal world. Today, many people are educated. Modern science and technology have widened their knowledge and horizon to understand many things in this world and the universe which early primitive people could not understand. Certain beliefs that they have developed according to their imagination have been portrayed by primitive religion as the truth. We do not know that every day we are molding our own heaven and hell according to our way of life, as well as the good and bad effects which we also experience here and hereafter. It does not mean that Buddhism denies the belief of heavenly life or suffering hell after our death. But the Buddhist concept of this belief is different from others. This means that when we live by cultivating our humane qualities and virtues by following certain religious principles without violating the peace and happiness of others, we also can experience a more comfortable, happy, prosperous, and peaceful life in any part of the universe after our death where life exists. To us, that is heaven. On the other hand, if we spend our lives by harboring anger, jealousy, grudge, ill will, and various evil thoughts in our mind, by worrying, crying, fighting, and disturbing others, we have to face the consequences in the form of suffering, either within this life or hereafter. It would also be difficult for us to have a better rebirth with good environment to cultivate good virtues. When the life becomes more miserable, we regard this state of existence as hell. By knowing the real situation in worldly life, understanding people try to mold their way of life and live peacefully without hurting others, and also by doing some service to them. We prefer to have a favorable, nice and pleasant existence, but our ambitions are very seldom realized. The world is not positioned in our favor. The formations of this world has not taken place just to suit us. The world has its own conditions, universal law and nature. These things are unbiased, whether we are rich or poor, educated or not. But religious people can maintain happiness and contentment through this understanding. When troubles, sicknesses, worries, disturbances, calamities come to us, we should not grumble, nor should we curse or accuse others. We should consider carefully so as to understand who or what is responsible for all our problems. Sometimes we might have done something wrong. Do not think that we are always right and that others are wrong. Every person in this world makes mistakes. We are living in a world where we always experience clashes, disagreement, conflict, calamities, disturbances, and war. The world is situated with these worldly conditions. Therefore, we cannot find any peace or happiness in a world where friction and clashes are daily occurrences. Life is uncertain. When once we neglect our life, then falling down or declining is very easy. After that, to rise up again becomes a big problem. The belief in rebirth is another subject which some missionaries take advantage to ridicule Buddhism. They say that those who follow Buddhism will have to suffer more since their rebirth only prolonged the final salvation by becoming animals, ghosts, and so on. But those who follow their religion do not become animals or ghosts, but straight away can go to heaven without remaining here to suffer after their death. Many people believe what they preach without using their common sense. Rebirth does not take place according to different religious labels, but by man's mental attitude, way of speech, and by way of doing things with good and evil thoughts. So, our thoughts and actions are responsible for molding the life hereafter. Whether people have a religion or not is not the important factor to condition rebirth. However, their concept of hell is eternal suffering, but Buddhism teaches that wherever rebirth takes place, it is not permanent. One day, there will be an end to their suffering or pleasure. Think for yourself. which is more reasonable. We leave it to your better judgment. Thank you. The first thing that we have to do is to create a strong determination not to commit such evil deeds again. But that itself is not enough. After that, one should try to do more and more good deeds or meritorious deeds by cultivating kindness, honesty, generosity, and proper understanding. The cultivations of such good deeds and meritorious deeds accumulate good karma. When the purity of the mind and good karma become more powerful energy to strengthen the mind and to gain confidence on our future life. When the good karma is powerful and active in the mind, the bad karma that we had committed earlier would become dormant or be inactive. If death occurs at that state of mind, rebirth takes place in a favorable condition. This explanation is enough for us to understand as to how we can forgive our own sins. However, this is not the end of our bad karma, because it is not possible to eradicate them completely. But in the process of continuing to accumulate more and more good meritorious deeds, by serving others and reducing mental impurity, we can overcome the effect of bad karma, because good karma can eclipse the effect of bad karma, so that we can continue our life process until we attain perfection or sainthood or final goal. Since craving with conditioned rebirth is extinguished, bad karmic forces are also eliminated automatically. Only after that we will be free from the effect of the bad karma. Although this method is meaningful and justifiable, still some people try to find a shortcut to avoid the effect and to go to heaven simply by praying to God and performing some rites and rituals. But Buddhism had rejected this belief. When a preacher was giving a talk on the creations of heaven and earth, then somebody from the audience got up and asked, "May I know actually what was he doing before he started to create heaven and earth?" Then the speaker answered, "Do you know, during that period, he was creating hell for those who ask such kind of questions." The concept of heaven and hell is very important to many people. But this is some sort of technique introduced by many religions. When people could not appreciate to perform their duties as human beings, to cultivate certain virtues, to maintain human dignity, and to understand how to behave as cultured people, they have introduced this belief. They said that if people follow such religious principles, fulfilling their duties towards parents, wives, husbands, neighbors, after their death, they can have a wonderful eternal life in heaven. That was the only way to convince people to do good, just like training small children to do good because they cannot understand or appreciate to do good. Therefore, it is necessary to promise something for them, at least chocolate, sweets, or something to play with. Only then will they pay attention. The Buddha did not talk by using children's language. He knew that we have the potential to understand things, although many of us do not take the trouble to understand. His way of teaching is not to promise anything, but to teach people to understand what is right and what is wrong, and the nature of cause and effect. According to him, if we do a good thing only aiming at heaven, we are selfish. Because according to that motive, we would not develop virtues such as compassion, honesty, and understanding.